left off yesterday trying to figure out what the nature of this din is of the Kichat Tama, just how far the Kichat Tama goes. So one thing we know for a fact is that the Dalamino Ma'achman Zerzeh, that's a given. I mean, the person doesn't shake off Aminim, so it was also that he wasn't yet to anything at all. But even within the requirement of the Kichat Tama, we had a major machlokes between the Balach Gedolos and Rabbeinu Tam. What would the din be if a person shakes off Aminim, but not at the same time? He shakes 1 minute at 8 o'clock, one at 9 o'clock, then he goes home, Kiddush has lunch, has another one in the afternoon, and up that he's running for mincha, he grabs the fourth minute. So would that be acceptable or not? So Rabbi Natan said that's ridiculous. He said he can't have a mitzvah like that. Since it's ultimately one mitzvah and the Om Achman Zezeh, but to spread the mitzvah out over a course of time, Zezeh, it's not going to fly according to Rabbi Natan. And the Baal HaGadol said, why not? Why is it going to fly? What's wrong with that? Also called, that's also considered to be like Kichat Tama. At the end of the day, you had all four, enough community, you had them at the same time, or you had a Bezech, Hazeh. So we spoke a little bit yesterday about the Bezech Machlok is related. The other Machloksim is that a general question about doing mitzvahs, Bezech, Hazeh, how to touch some spheres. So Omer, that was the bulk of what we spoke about yesterday, but within the view of Rabbi Natan, there's nothing much to discuss anymore. But within the view of the Baal Lach's Gedolos, we can continue to sing a little bit. So I guess those people didn't come to Shia, so they're assuming like the time the Shia is over, nothing to talk about. But within the world of Rabbi Balach Gedolos, there's still what to talk about. So assuming, like the Balach Gedolos, that one can be Yetzir in the midst of Bezech Hazeh, is there any ever a point that the buck stops here, even in his worldview? Name is ever a point where even the Balach Gedolos is going to have to say, this is just not called Lekicha Tama. So it's male is one thing to say that Zech Hazeh, but is there any point that's we're gonna bump into a brick wall and say, not kind of like us, even according to the view of the Baal? So there is a very specific realm in this region where the Rambam presents the possibility of being Yaitse Bezech Hazeh, following in the Ikvais of Allah's Gedolos, and the Rambam almost puts a break on it. So the Rambam writes that in the Perek Zayin al-Chavav, the 7th of the Rambam comes, as we have, when the Rambam writes that if Imlo Ogdon, if a person doesn't do Eger, that we all know, if Imlo Ogdon, Eger is not Ma'akev, then not one Echad Echad, and he takes one at a time, which is clearly Balach the double speaking, Yotza. So that's again not a great surprise that the Rambam, if you had to be a betting person, or whether or not he would be a betting person, if he would be a betting person, whether the Rambam is going to be closer to the tradition of the Baal HaSkedolos or to Rabbeinu Tam, so I would put him more on the team of the Baal HaSkedolos. That's not a question. That's from the Ga'inim, Chachmei Sfar. That's a little bit more in sync with the Rambam. But the Rambam qualifies it. V'im lo ogdim not lachar echad yotza, for who should you are botar mitziyin etzloi? So the Rambam says that b'medim room that you're going to be yotzei, that's if all four are around. Now, that's even a further question. Does a round mean literally in front of him? Does a round mean in the drawer? Does a round mean in shul? He's in the house. We're not sure what the details of that mean. But the Rambam does put the brakes on it. It says, Hushu abata mitzun etzloi. What does that mean? Maisa, what do the words mean? Hushu abata mitzun etzloi. What is the problem exactly? What is the Rambam coming to tell us? So there was a major machlokes acharonim, what the punchline of this Rambam means. What did the Rambam mean when he said, "V'hushe you about the mitzvah of him"? So there are some Acharonim who took the Rambam in a almost a very, very limited sense. Namely, the Rambam is not telling you anything grandiose in terms of some din deraisa. The Rambam is not redefining what the Kichat Tama means. The Rambam is just concerned with a very real concern. That's concerned in terms of Hilchos Brachos. Let's not forget, the Rambam is writing you a guidebook. The Rambam is writing you a Kitzur Chanoch, telling you how to live your life. So the Rambam is telling you, comes the first day Sukkot, and you want to know, Rabbi, should I shake a lulav and esrog right now? I only have a lulav now, and I hope and pray that I'll bump into an esrog during the course of the day. So the Rambam may very well be telling you, don't do it. Don't start now by shaking a lulav. Why? Because if you shake a lulav now, you're going to make a bracha on the lulav, hoping and praying you're going to bump into an esrog later, and you may not. So you may not have an esrog later, and then Igvar Milsa that the whole thing was a bracha of a tov, you won't yet see anything. Therefore, the Rambam is telling you that in terms of practical Torah observance, wait it out until you get the arba minim mitzvah in the front of. So if that's the pshat in the Rambam, then the Rambam is not telling you anything grandiose on a level of deraisa. So some Achranim read that into the Rambam, and there are Rishonim who already have such a thing. The Ramban already says such a thing. The Ramban has a Shita that it's a very bad calculation. It's just a bad, it's a too risky activity to make a bracha on the Dalam Ninim unless they mitzvah mafanah. So if I know that the Dalam Ninim, I got one in shul, one in the house, one next door, one across the street, I know that I got all four and it's not a problem, so then great, then make a bracha and start and start collecting the Dalam Ninim. If you don't have mitzvah mafanah, if you're not really sure where they are, then hold off and wait. But what if the person didn't held off, he didn't wait? What if the person went ahead and he shook a lulav, not knowing if and when an Esther is going to show up? And now he lucked out that 5 hours later someone comes running in with an Esrig. So according to that interpretation of the Rambam, he was yaitzid a mitzvah. Because, again, if the Rambam holds like the Bahag, if you don't follow Rabbi Tav, holds the Bahag, you don't need the Tila Devat Achaz, then what do you need the Tila in the fun of form of love of their eyes? So again, it was a poor strategy in terms of playing out Hopeless Brachas. But Tachlis, on the love of their eyes, L'chach Tem Lachem was fulfilled. Because ultimately the Rambam holds like the Bahag, L'kicha Tama means, you have to take all four. How you take him? When do you take him? You know, whether you had him in front of you, didn't have him in front of you, those are totally irrelevant.
Didn't the Mishnah
Berurah
explain the Rambam
as being a hell of a Rambam? Hold on, again. So again, so just reading the Rambam itself, you can't tell. So some Achranim learn Pshat in the Rambam, that the Rambam just meant Hopeless Brachas, like other Rishonim said. And others read Pshat in the Rambam knows, the Beis Yosef understood Pshat in the Rambam, that the Rambam was talking on a level of the Araisa. And the Rambam is really in the fun of, the Rambam is redefining for us what Lekicha Tama means. So don't tell me Lekicha Tama means, like the Rabbeinu Tam, that you need all four of us after. That's off the chart. That the Rambam doesn't buy into. On the other hand, don't tell me that Lekicha Tama means as long as you got all four, that's okay, even though they were spread out. Says the Rambam, it's true if at least Bishas Maisa, you knew there were four rounds. So when I shake a lulav, I know I have an Esther across the street, and I know I have a Hadassah by my neighbor, I know I have a Rabbis by my cousin, and I know that in the course of the next 3 hours, I'm going to be able to get them all one after another. That's called Lekicha Tama. But when you shake one of the Minim, you don't even know that you have the other Minim available. Even the Balak's Gloss is going to say, says the Rambam, says the Beis Yosef, Vidas the Rambam, that the buck stops here. That's not called. You can't call that a Lekicha Tama. When you have no knowledge of the fact that you have the Dalam Minim even available to you, so even according to the Mekilim, like such as following the Bahag, you can't label that as a Lekicha Tama. So that's a very, very different way of reading the Rambam. That's a deraisatic way of reading the Rambam. Again, we know for a fact that Rishonim who say, you need all four in terms of Bukhas Brachas. There we have a Ryan quotes a Ramban that says that. But whether that's the Pshat and the Rambam, the Rambam didn't really mean anything on the level of the Raisa, or the Rambam meant something much, much more than the Ramban, that's subject to Machoy Kesachron. So that's one possible potential, you know, curveball within the Sugya of the Lekicha Tama, even within the Mekilim of the Bahag. Is there anything else that could go wrong, that could really throw us off in terms of Bukhas Lekicha Tama? So there's a Ramah where the Ramah writes the eighth of the Ramah climate. So the Ramah quotes that if a person has all the four minim in front of him and he's getting all ready to roll, he's getting ready to make to do his mitzvah, and he's not going to take all four together, he's not going to follow Rabbi Natan, he's going to follow the Bahag. So the Ramah writes, so in the same way that we make a bracha on the lulav and we take all four together, the lulav is the most chashuv of the four, so physically it's the highest of the four. So just as if you take all four together, so you make the bracha on the lulav, so the person in theory can take one after another, again according to non-Rabbinatan people, make the bracha on the lulav, and that bracha is going to pata all four as well. The Ramah just makes a point of saying, v'imsach b'nehim. What if a person spoke in between? So here, the guy makes a bracha, Sheikh Rishon says, lulav. He picks up the lulav, and then he puts it down, and rather than immediately picking up the Esrog, Hadas, and Aravas, he starts shemuzim. He goes to give the Daf Yom Yishir, then he comes back an hour later and picks up the Esrog. So the Ramah writes, oyoyoy, if you are sach b'nehim, then you have to make a new bracha, Esrog, new bracha, Hadas, etc., whatever the case is. The original bracha was no longer intact. So the question is, what did the Ramah mean with that one? What was the pshat in the Ramah? The Ramah's quoting from Rishonim was saying that once you talk in the middle, then you got to start all over again in terms of Nuchas Brachas. So did the Ramah just mean the technicality of Nuchas Brachas? You want your one bracha to be intact and all four minim, so that's great if you want Mesiach Das. But as soon as you talk, just as we find in other brachas, we find the concept of talking is an automatic hefsek, an automatic hefsek. So it's an automatic hefsek, and now the original bracha can't relate to the other minim. If that's all the Ramah meant, so then we shouldn't even be talking about it now, because this is not a lekicha tama issue. This is a hilchos brachas. This is a hilchos hefsek, the brachas issue. Is that pshat in the Ramah? So it's possible. It's possible it's all the Ramah meant. The problem is that wouldn't fit into our general thinking of his bracha. Because there's an old machlekes, a major machlekes in Yishayinim. If a person makes a birchas mitzvah, and they start to perform the mitzvah, and they didn't finish, and now they're mafsik. So what's the story? So do you have to make a new bracha now? What's the din? So the source of this whole discussion, the Rishonim, is almost like a contradiction between two different halachas and uchas brachas. And again, we're not learning uchas luvim. Now we're putting the Ramah into uchas brachas. So we find in uchas brachas that there are two different models in terms of a person who recites the bracha, he starts something, didn't finish, is sach, he speaks in the middle, and now the question is, now what did he do? When he finishes off what he started to do, does he make a new bracha or not? So what are the two different models that we find? Anyone know? We get two different vibes, two different ideas from Chazal. One is a famous sugya in Hilchos, from a sugya Menachos, from the Rav, but the Gemara says, sach ben tefila l'tefila, the person recites the bracha, they put on the tefillin shel yad, and then they begin to speak. So the question is, does that impact on the bracha vis-a-vis the tefillin shel rosh or not? So what would that mean even? That's the third machlokes Rashi, is what the case is. With machlokes Rashi and Menatam, what's supposed to happen when you put on tefillin everything for the guy who doesn't speak? The Rashi says, for a regular guy who doesn't speak, who does what he's supposed to do, so he makes laniach on the shel yad, and then he makes an al mitzvahs on the... makes nothing on the shel rosh. That's Rashi Shita. But the Tam Shita is that the normal protocol is you make laniach on the shel yad, you always make a mitzvah on the shel rosh, even without speaking. And now the background is, what happens if a guy spoke? So the Gemara says, sach ben tefila l'tefila chozer mevarech. According to Rashi, what that means is, if you weren't sach, then you just made one bracha, just laniach on both. If you were sach, then you have to throw in the bracha of al mitzvahs for the shel rosh. According to Ben Tam, if you weren't sach, then you made lahadiyach on the shel yad and al mitzvah on the shel rosh. If you were sach, what does chozer mevarech mean according to Ben Tam? You make another lahaniach on the shel rosh. In addition to the regular mitzvah tefillin that everybody makes, you have to throw in another lahaniach. So we're not sure what the din is. I mean, we really are sure what the din is. Ashkenazim are pretty sure what the din is. That's why we do follow a bit of time. We do make lahaniach on the shel yad and al mitzvah on the shel rosh under normal circumstances. But because in the back of our minds we're a little weary about Rashi and the Rambam, other Rishonim hold that way. So therefore, the Ramah calls the custom nuchas tefillin that we make a baruch shem. We say baruch shem for good luck. Because just in case that our mitzvah is a bracha levatalas, so it's not so bad. Now, baruch shem is not an end-all remedy for all brachas levatalas. It's something that we do when we really think it is okay what we're doing, but we're nervous a little bit. We don't want the other Hashem to feel that we did something so terrible, so we throw baruch shem for as a little bit of make everybody happy. The poskim point out that tefillin that some people say baruch shem and make it mamash a bracha levatalas by saying baruch shem. Why? They make al mitzvah tefillah, and they haven't even tightened their shel rosh. Their rosh is not in place. It's barely out of their hand. They make al mitzvah tefillah. They're still adjusting the shel rosh, and they say baruch shem. So that's a bracha v'tolah choladeh. Why? Because they didn't fulfill the mitzvah of the shel rosh. Because the shel rosh isn't in place yet, so then they haven't really fulfilled the mitzvah of the shel rosh. So now they were mafsik with the baruch shem between the bracha and the hanachas tefillah. So you have to be careful about that. So the correct order of things on a daily basis is to say al mitzvah tefillin, then you make sure the tefillin are in place, and then and only then do you start to say the baruch shem to remedy the bracha l'matala according to Shita Rashi. It's funny that according to what we practice, so when we put that tefillin shel rosh on, we're making a bracha l'matala l'chol ha'deis. So it's all the shem, it's a bracha l'matala. Why? Bein l'fashi, bein l'bein l'tam. Why is it bracha l'matala? According to Rashi, it's a bracha l'matala because you're only supposed to make one. According to bein l'tam, it's a bracha l'matala. Why? Because it's filled that we wear are not kosher according to Benetan. The parashas are out of order. So we paskin against Benetan. Nimna v'gamu, the lady Rishonim said, we paskin aloch l'maisek rashi. It's not even a suffix anymore. But according to Benetan, it's a bracha v'talim. So we're not worried about that anymore. So we paskin it's filled not kosher, and we also paskin like rashi. But if you would ask Rashi what we're doing, he would try bracha v'talim. If he asked his grandson Benetan, he'd try bracha v'talim for a different reason. But we pass the Rashi's in one place and the Benetam in the other place. That's okay. We're allowed to do that. We're okay with what we do. Fine. So the Gemara says in Menachos that when you talk in between the Shayyam and Shal Rosh, so you have to make another bracha. Again, what that other bracha is, Machaz Rashi and Benetam. So you see that in this model of bracha, maskal, sach. So the result of this is Chozer Mevarech. The problem is that there's another thing that indicates that bracha maskal soch in a chozer mevarech. What's that other? What's the other model? That's going to come to the focal discussion. That's from the focal point. Where do we know for a fact this model of bracha maskal soch? No problem. Ever eat lunch? You go and you make a motzi and a slice of pizza. Everyone makes a motzi pizza, right? Make a motzi and a slice of pizza, and you take a bite or two. And what do you do next? Then you start talking on the phone, start schmoozing with somebody. And what do you do next? A new hamotzi? Another bite? No one makes a new hamotzi. So you continue eating. Al smach the original bracha. But that was a bracha, maskel, sach, and somehow eino chayzer. So we have a model in Hilchas. In Hilchas Tefillin, the Yechayzer Mevarech, and yet we have in Hilchas Birchas Hananin, clearly everybody knows that Yechayzer Mevarech. So the question that the Rishonim have is, which is the rule, which is the exception to the rule? So is there something unique about Tefillin that forces us to be Yechayzer Mevarech? That's what they have to Rishonim say. Or is there something unique about Birchas Hananin that's radically different than Birchas HaMitzvot, which is other Rishonim say? So this Machlokes came to a head about Kiyas Shofar in the following situation. Kiyas Shofar is a kind of a mitzvah that schleps out for a while. Most mitzvahs that we do, so you make the bracha, you do the mitzvah, and finish, and come on. There's no great delayed reaction to mitzvahs. But every once in a while, we find the mitzvah that takes, it could schlep out for hours on end until the mitzvah's over. Kiyas Shofar is one of those mitzvahs. We make a bracha, we start to blow, and we finish. Because although Minat Torah maybe we finish, once you blow 30 Torahs of Minat Torah, you're covered in all bases. But there's an added part of the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah in the Rabbanan to be tekeya even more. So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Lama Tadim Shein Yoshin Shein Omdim, we blow in multiple times. We blow before most of them, we blow during Chazos Hashanah. According to Ruba the Rishonim, those two sets of blowings that we do are the Ikra Din, namely Midaraisa with Yotzei with one set. And then I'll say the brachas with Yotzei the second time around. So that's the way most of the Rishonim learned. The Balamor had a radical different way of reading that Gemara. According to the Balamor, so the blowing of the shofar that we do before Musaf, the Balamor says, is not Medina the Gemara. The Amoraim never even heard of that. But we do it. Everyone gets all riled up and shofar blowing is at 10:45 and all the kids are there and everyone all gathered around the bima. Balmor says that's not Medina Gemara. Doesn't say that anywhere in the Gemara that you blow shofar like that. Balmor says, look at all the Mishnayos and all the Gemaras of Rosh Hashanah. How is the shofar described? It's always what? It's always a Seyda Brachas. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah says you follow Seyda Brachas with Tekeya. Tekeya, 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 Tekeya. So the Gemara says, you're right. Everyone agrees that there's Kiyas Seyda Brachas. But the Gemara also talks about the Kiyas de Meyushav. So most of the Rishonim learn, Rubli of the Rishonim learn, that the Tekiyas de Meyushav are the Tekiyas before Musaf. So of course Chazal knew about them. Of course Chazal spoke about them. That's what the Gemara means when it says, Lama Token Kishen Yoshvin, the Token Kishen Omdim. So most of the Rishonim learn that Token Kishen Yoshvin, Token Kishen Omdim, so that means the Tekiyas de Meyushav are before Musaf, and like we do, and the Tekiyas de Meumad are during Musaf, either because of the Shatzvah and Sashvah, those are different Minhagim already. But exactly what we do is exactly what Chazal was describing. And how can we blow shofar after Musaf is over? So most of the Rishonim say, that's a new story. That's not Chazal never heard of. That was, that's for Aim Sisra, for Amisis, for 100 Kailas, all kind of different kuntim, where we throw in a few extra Kailas at the end for good luck. But the real Kiyas of mandated by the Torah and by Chazal, the Kiyas that existed in the days of Rina Ravashi, were exactly what we do. It's Kiyas before Musaf, the first set, the Kiyas I'll say the Brach is the second set, and finish. That's the real thing. Everything after davening is just Minhag B'Yalm. That's how 99% of the Rishonim learned the Gemara. So the Balamor and Rosh Hashanah says the Imamish Benafich, the exact opposite of everything. Balamor says that the Kiyas before Musaf, Chazal don't speak about them. Don't learn the Gemara ever. So what are the Kiyas de Meumen and the Kiyas de Meyushav? So the Balamor says that the Kiyas de Meyushav are the Kiyas when? During Chazaras HaShatz. Those are the Kiyas to Miyushiva. According to everyone else, the Kiyas to Miyushiva are the ones before davening. But the Balmos said, no, those are the Kiyas to Miyushiva, the ones who are Chatzah Shatz. Why are they called Kiyas to Miyushiva? Because the congregation is sitting, because the Balmor says, whoever heard of standing Jerusalem, but he stands, the Chazan stands, you don't stand. In the Balmor, not so yeshivish in the Balmor, sure. So they did a lot of interesting things in the Balmor. The Balmor didn't wear talus, we know that for a fact. The Ramban writes, the Balmor never wore talus in his life. Why? He never wore tzitzis either. What? Because he passed in that tchilas is ma'akir. So he said, if you wear a four-pointed beggar with without tchilas, you're mevatel mitzvah deraisa. It's Machlis Atanoim. So the first Sugi in Perkat Chelis quotes Machlis Atanoim. So everybody else passed like the Mishnah. Balmor said, no, we passed like the other fit in the Gemara. So the Balmor, the Ramban writes that we heard about, the Ramban never met the Balmor. The Ramban was next generation from the Balmor. There was one next generation. But the Ramban lived in Spain, and the Balmor lived in Provence, in southern France, so they never met each other. So the Ramban says, we heard Aedas from people who knew the Balmor that he never wore talus, never wore tzitzis, never, never, ever, ever. Because he passed that to wear a bag of Dalek Kanfas is creating a situation where Mavatal and Mitzvah Deraisa. That's what the kids, you know, you see a kid without tzitzis on, so he's like, Balamor, that's what does it. How about if he would write Svarim, if he would write Muhammad Sashem at the age of 17, it would be good. If that, I wouldn't mind. My tummy, if you guys would all not wear tzitzis, but you'd write Balamor at the age of 17, that would be fine. Anyway, but so in the Balamor, sure, they did things a little bit differently. So the Balamor writes that Me'ikar Adin, you don't have to blow Shah before Musaf. He doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara to blow Shah before Musaf. But and the tkiyas of Yushev and Chazal are the tkiyas in the middle of Chazal Sashat. So what are the tkiyas of Umar? Tkiyas of Umar are the tkiyas after davening. Why are they called tkiyas of Umar? So the Balmor says, you misunderstood what Umar means. Umar doesn't mean everyone's scared to get attention, you know, in the middle of Shmones, right? Umar means everyone's on the way out. It means they got up already. Umar means as people are folding up the talus and getting the hats from the coat room and getting ready to go. So Lama means everyone is ready one foot out the door. Those are the tkiyas of Umar. That's what Balamor learned. So, according to Balamor, so where did this thing come from to blow shofar before Musaf? What's going on? What are you blowing shofar before Musaf for? What's it based on? So the Balamor says, we also do it. You know where we do it? He says, it was instituted in the days of the Goyim to blow shofar before Musaf. What did the Goyim institute it for? You won't believe this. You know why? You can guess why. Why did the Goyim, what was wrong with, according to Balamor, what was wrong with leaving it the way it used to be? People used to leave shofar early. Yeah, he says that people would get tired by it. People would get very tired. So the chazan schlepping it out the long. So people said, it's already by Zichronis. We heard most of the davening. They would leave. They didn't hear the full Tekiah Shofar. So Nebuch, in the days of Gainim, they realized that it was a big mikshah for people. So they threw in 30 kohos at the beginning. That way, at least Minot Torah, everyone would be, I'd say. But you're not really supposed to do that. In the perfect world, you messed it up. In the perfect world, the real Tekiah is supposed to be Aseid HaBarachas. So you have a Lagamri, different vision of Rosh Hashanah was going on here. Yeah, that different version of Lagamri. So according to most of the Rishonim, the real emissary tkiyas of the Araisik tkiyas, the super duper duper chashma tkiyas, are the first ones. And then we blow Seder Brachas. And at the end, we blow just because for make Aim Sisra happy or something. And according to the Balamor, everything is the exact opposite. Namely, the real emissary tkiyas are all Seder Brachas. The ones at the end of davening are Larvis HaSultan, whatever that means. And the ones before davening are just because people couldn't hang out in shul long enough. The Kiddush clubs were starting too early on Rosh Hashanah. So you have different versions of what's first. So we're going to view Rosh Hashanah now through the eyes of Ruben the Rishon. The other Rishon, according to Balmor, says, L'hayu Dvar Mirav. The whole thing is L'hayu Dvar Mirav. But according to most of the Rishon, that the Ikat Kiyas are ready before Musaf, so we recite the brachas on the Ikat Kiyas. We make it, that's what the Balmor writes, that in the days of Chazal, they never made a bracha with Shemot Kol Shofar. There was no such bracha. Why? Why was there no such bracha? It's Mil Shemot Esrei. He said that... No. So he writes that he has the Yisoy, that a mitzvah that's done, derecha bracha, that's the bracha. The bracha is Mekadosh Yisrael V'yom Hazikon. That's the bracha mitzvah. The Tekiah Shofar, it's all the same thing. And I'll tell you a secret. There was some Rishonim who say you don't make a bracha with Birchas Kohanim also, perhaps for that same reason. But whatever. So the Balamor says the fact that we make a bracha l'shmo kol shofar that was instituted by the Goyim. He writes because since in the days of Goyim they had to stick the Tekiah Shofar before Musaf because of the problem of people living early, then you can't stop long without a bracha. The bracha existed in the days of Chazal for a yochid. A person who doesn't blow, say that bracha is how to make a bracha, lishma kosher. That's true. It's not that the goyim made up the bracha, but the normal protocol of Jewish observance of the new year was not to make a bracha lishma kosher, because the tkiyas didn't start until the middle of Chazas Hashem. It's fine. So let's forget about, put it on the back burner for now. According to most of the Rishonim, so we make a bracha lishma kosher, and then we start the mitzvah going. But we didn't finish the mitzvah. So we made the bracha, we blow the tkiyas to miyushav, and then the guy talks in the middle. So now what does he do now? So should he make a new bracha or not? So that was the riff in the end of Masechta Lashana quotes a shayla from Shaul Makami Reish Masifta. The Reish Masifta means Rosh Yeshiva, Rosh Yeshiva in Babel. One of the Gaonim is the Gaonim with the Rosh Yeshivas in Babel. So the riff quotes that Shaul Makami Reish Masifta, that the shayla was presented to one of the Gaonim in Babel. What do you do if a guy talks in the middle of Tkiyas Shofar? Sach ben Tkiyas to Tkiyas. So he quotes a pilpul from the Gaonim back and forth. Do we say it's the same as Tfilin? Do we say it's the same as Bichtanen? It's unclear what the din is. It's machlokes Rishonim what the din is. So our minig is, we're not sure what the din is, so therefore we treat it as a sveika d'dina. So therefore our minig is that we tell people not to talk. We make an announcement. No one should talk until after davening is over. But with the evidence, the guy talk, we're not going to make another bracha. So the chetchiva, we try to be chayshish not to talk. But the evidence, you know, it's not the end of the world. The Pesuk points out that we make such a to-do, such a fuss, on Rosh Hashanah not to talk ben tkiyas la tkiyas, it's much less of a problem than talking during Chazos HaShatz on a regular Tuesday afternoon mincha. Means that talking during Chazos HaShatz is for sure also. There's only one place in all the Shulchan Aruch, in Arba Chelke Shulchan Aruch, that the Shulchan Aruch quotes Gadol Avonim in Yitzay, that the Aveir is so great you can't even hold on to it anymore. That's a phrase that pasuk is by Kayin. When Kayin is caught, you know, because Baruch confronts him, so he says, God, what I did was so bad. So the Shulchan Aruch, one place in Dalachat, the Shulchan Aruch writes, a person who sach in the middle of Chazos HaShatz on Tuesday Bincha is God, Lavanim, and Nisoy. It's such a terrible aver, you can't even expect the slich for that. So to speak during Chazos HaShatz is a very serious thing. To speak Ben Kiyas Let Kiyas, according to the Balamor, it's perfectly okay, and according to the Summer Shem, the opening of the Hayud Vermeyolam, but we make such a to-do about it on Rosh Hashanah. You know, we want to impress upon people that they shouldn't get themselves involved in this fake of the deed. So getting back to Chuz Brachas. So in Chuz Brachas, we are far from convinced that if a person is mafsik in the middle of a mitzvah, he has to make a new bracha. So when the Ramah says here, that by the way, a guy who started off the mitzvah of Dalman, he shook a lulav, and then he stops and he has a conversation. So the Ramah says, you better start making another bracha. So the Ramah meant al tuchus brachas. That's not in sync with what it says in other places in halacha. The Ramah nuchos shofar does not say you have to make a new bracha. The poskim say that if a guy spoke a little b'digas chometz, that means if you don't talk, make another bracha. We assume that it's far from muskim, far from agreed, that the model is tefillin. It could be because then is the model. Tefillin may be the exception. It may be a quirk of a reason why tefillin is different. So we who are not at all convinced in the Sugya of Chuz Brachas that you have to repeat a bracha, so what does the Ramah here say to make a new bracha? So the Bihalacha was so bothered with this kasha that he offers a totally different version of what the Ramah meant. Anyway, so the Bihalacha, what is the different one? What does the Bihalacha think the Ramah meant? A gamri different story. Yeah, that the Ramah meant, not al tzuchus brachas, al tzuchus eser, al tzuchus lulav, that part of the din of Rekicha Tama is there has to be a tziruf between the Dalaminim. Now again, Rabbi Natan held there has to be such azat tziruf that's in your hands at the same time. So ad kedei kach we don't go. That far we don't go, argues B'Halacha, that the ikra that we probably do accept the Balach's Gedalus, but even we who are willing to concede that it can be Yaitzei Mitzvah, Bezeh Chazeh, that's only B'Medra Murim Demetzuruf Yachad. What constitutes Mitzuruf Yachad? That you didn't have a Hesek Hadas, you didn't have a Hesek between them. But if you're Mafsik B'Dibur between them, that breaks up the Tziruf, that breaks up the continuity between the different Halachim of the Mitzvah, and that's a problem. And that poses a problem on a level of the Araisa. Lo Shemana Dovazem Eilam. This concept of a Hesek, the notion of talking, it's a Hesek, it's Hesek Hadas, that's a Din Mechaz Brachas, that's a Din Mederabam. Never heard of such a thing Mederaisa. And says the Be'alach, no, it's not true. There is such a thing on the level of the Araisa. And i.e. that talking, that being Mesiach Das, will create such an interruption, such a problem, that we can no longer view the two as being connected to one another on the level of the Araisa. And it's felt in Lekichat Hamah. And that's what the Rambam is driving at. If that's the case, says the Ralach, this is mind-boggling. This, like, put this in your collector's item, that has chadas, the love of deraisa, disqualifies the mitzvah. Chiddush, 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 gadol. There is a machlekes that we shared about tkiya shofar. If a person blows shofar, starts blowing, but they didn't finish all the kolos, the nine kolos in the next time. He starts the third blow, and then he starts to talk in the middle. So we assume that's not a problem. If they're abundant, it's not a good thing to do. Hefsek and brachas, that's a problem. But it doesn't invalidate the tkiya shofar mideraisa. So there's a machlekes in the Tam and the Ramban, what if instead of talking, he actually blows something else? He blows tkiya, terua, and then he blows, happy birthday. He blows a Yankee Doodle or something. So will that disqualify the tkiya? So the Rabban comes to know. What's the problem? He said, so he was mafsik in the middle. So what? What's the difference as Rabban Tam, whether we spoke, whether we took a nap, and then tafyom, we did tashlich, what's the difference? Or whether he blew Yankee Doodle. A hefsek doesn't ruin the mitzvah of tkiya shofar. And the Ramban writes, no. It's true, a hefsek doesn't ruin tkiya shofar. When you have another call that doesn't belong, that breaks up the continuity of the tkiya to a tkiya. That the package, ben ha-toira, the tzura of tkiya shofar is, it's not that you blow a tkiya and then you go to sleep, and then you blow a trua. It has to be a tkiya trua tkiya. There's a unit, there are three units of tkiya trua tkiya that are all derived from tzukim. So each unit has to be intact. So if you blow tkiya, do, trua, Yankee doodle, and then you blow another tkiya, so you didn't blow a tkiya trua tkiya. So it's not tzukas hefsik, it's not a din like you were medaber, like you were soch, like it was eschadas. That's a unique din of tkiya shofar. So that's what the Be'al Loch is saying, a similar idea that hefsik is a din of the Rabbanon. Eschadas and brach is a din of the Rabbanon. But here there's a din deraisa that you need a unit of tziruf. And the unit of tziruf is, it's gotta be like yichatama. So we don't go as far as the Din HaTam and say you need all four together. That's not true. We can have a dechazet, but if you medaber in the middle, that destroys the tziruf, that destroys the lekicha tava, and then you got to start all over again on love of the raisa.
Is there a difference between each set of
three
and the next set of
three? Right, that's also true, right? That's a further machlokes. I'm assuming that Ramban is right. Is that only true by the first set of three? What about, do we view all nine as being one unit? So most Rishonim say that. That was the famous fight that broke out in Shul and Rosh Hashanah against you. In before the Crusades, there used to be three major Jewish communities in Germany in the 1000s. We used to call them the Kilos Shum, the Speyer, Vermeise, and Magentia. So in English, they were Speyer, Worms, and Mainz. So they were the forerunners of the entire Ashkenazi Jewry. So the odds are, anyone who's Ashkenazi, so there's a 99% chance that one of your ancestors, if not all your ancestors, came from one of these three places. Because all the Jews of Eastern Europe, of Poland, Russia, Lithuania, all came from the Jews in Germany, and they all basically came from these three communities. So unfortunately, these three communities suffered a terrible tragedy at the end. The Crusades decimated these communities later on in history. But the Rosh quotes in the end of Rosh Hashanah, the famous Ma'aseh b'Magentzia, that there was one time in the shul in Magentzia in Rosh Hashanah, so the Baal Tekeya got up to blow, and he made a mistake. He blew, when he got to Shvarim Trua, so he blew, he started to blow the Trua before he blew the third Shever. So that's no good. It's got to be at least three kolos for Shvarim. So he had to start over again. So the question is, how to start where over again? What over again? So a major uproar in Shul. So some of the people in Shul said, they were the Rebbeim from Rashi. It wasn't just a bunch of balabatim, those guys, fighting it out, what to do. Like, should we say Tachman? Not say Tachman today. This is like a real machlokes of Rishonim. So one of the Nakudas they were fighting about was that Nakuda, namely, even if you hold that that's called the Hefsik, does that shter the entire Tkiya Shofar, or does that only shter that unit? And then the Rosh says, who says it shters anything? Because the Beder Ramamur and the Rishonim say that it's a Hefsik, that's if you were trying to be Mafsik. But here, it was just a mistake. It was just like, it's as if a person, happens all the time, a guy blows Tkiya, they try to blow Shvarim, and he doesn't, it didn't come out right. So every time it doesn't go out right, you have to start all over again from that Seder. So hold that way. If someone knows that way, then any time the Baal Tekeya makes any mistake whatsoever, you got to go back to the beginning of that unit. So the Rosh writes, he thinks that's Mugzam. He doesn't think that that's true. So some people out of Yom Hazeh do that. But the Rosh says that, you don't have to do that, because that's called a betos. You're trying to do the right call. You're just in the Chalkel Adavar, that's not called a call Achir. If you're planning on playing Yankee Doodle, that's called a call Achir. So that idea that the Ramban has with Keshofer, that's almost like what the Bir Halacha has here, vis-a-vis Dalad Dinim. This is not a din klali of bracha, this is a din prati. This particular mitzvah requires a tziruf, and therefore if you matzik, in this case by talking, that destroys the tziruf. What's the conclusion of that Bir Halacha? That Bir Halacha is correct. So what should the protocol be now? So a guy shook a guy made a bracha, he shakes the lulav, and then he starts shmoozing. So what do we tell him to do? What should we tell him to do at that point? Tell him to make what new bracha? And do what? And shake a lulav again. What would we not tell him just to do? We wouldn't say it's okay just to do what? We'll make a bracha on the hadasim and then shake the hadasim now. Because if you hold that this was a problem of Hukh's brachas, so then it just means that the bracha of Al-Til's lulav wasn't face, wasn't chal on the remaining union. But the mitzvah deraisa was chal. So I would say, you made Al-Til's lulav, great, wonderful. You would say that bracha on the lulav, put the lulav down, and now make a new bracha on Atilas hadasim, or Al-Til's esra, Al-Til's arovus. I don't know, you have to make up, figure out what the nuscha bracha should be. Al-Til's ale anafetzavus. Al-Til's arvenachal. Al-Til's priyetzal. You have to make up, look at the Torah Masorah booklet and figure out what the right bracha is and show it. So you're going to make a new bracha. You're not going to go back to make a new bracha on the Luv. The Luv, it's already. So if you learn what conventional wisdom was in the Ramah, that the Ramah was just chepering in Uchas brachas and telling you, you ruined the brachas. So when the Ramah says start again, it doesn't mean to start again, mamish. What's the Lashon in the Ramah? The Ramah says, what's the Ramah say? V'imsach b'deh imsach l'varach kol echad b'fnei atzmo. What's the kol echad b'fnei atzmo? That means all the next ones, all the subsequent ones were no longer covered by the bracha and the lulav. But you don't have to go back to shake the lulav again. The Bir Halacha says, no, it's not true. The Bir Halacha says that if...
What bracha are you going to make? You have to make one of these other
mitzvahs. No, you want your Yotzei mitzvah. Once, you have to go back and start all over again. Right. So that's what the Bir Halacha says, that if you look carefully, so the Bir Halacha says, Lofini has died, it's the second law in the end of the Bir Halacha. Lofini has died, the new Ripshit, the Tamah goes, the Tamah goes, that the Ramos quoting, the Alf, the Einan, the Sovim, Keshitas, Rabbein, the Tam, the Be'inan, Sheikhim, Kulim, the Yadav, the we don't hold like that. The Imlavach, the Mikkel, the Kikatama. A Kopon, the Be'inan, Shu, Bezech, the Zeb, the Hefzik, the Tayim. The Imla Hachi, Svil, and the Bezeb, Badi, Lo, Mikkel, the Kikatama. Mamshan, love of their eyes, it's not called the Kikatama. Elohok, Kashali. The Imkain, Gamla, Lulav, the Yatza. V'yitztorak lechzov v'kachenu gam kein l'vracha kulam alatiz lulav v'miloshen ramol l'mashma hochi. He says the Ramot doesn't sound that way. The Ramot doesn't say yatcha mechadash. The Ramot says just, you know, yivarecha kolecha b'fneatzo. It's very, very misleading. According to the Bialocha's version of the Ramot, it's extremely misleading, the Loshen Ramot. What the Ramot really means is to go back to the very beginning. So the Bialocha is what, you know, rock and hard plate. On the one hand, he thinks the lomdus, this is not a din of brachas. The Magen Avraham said it was a brachas issue, and the Mishnah says it doesn't match up, doesn't fit how we paskin by Ein Chayzim Mevarach. We paskin that's not sichas, not a, doesn't destroy a brachas and mitzvah. So the Bir Halacha thinks in Lomdus conceptually his pshat is right, but he doesn't fit into well into the Lashon Ramah. So he says v'yandi bagos maimini, and he says he goes back to the source, and he says that if you look at Lashon of Dagos maimini, he doesn't say Choz Mevarach Akolechad, he says Choz Mevarach, period. Choz Mevarach, which he thinks means Choz Mevarach Akulam Alatilas Lulav. He thinks that the Ramaz is almost a little bit misquoting the Agos Maimonides. He thinks that the Embers of Shad in this sheet that talking ruins it, it mamish ruins the mitzvah and the love of their eyes. So again, whether that's the Ramaz Kavan or not, I'm not sure, but he has shown them who do seem to say that idea. So basically, what are we developing here? We're developing this idea that even though we're big believers of the Baha'i, we really think that we're not so worried about Rabbein. Rabbein Tam was mamash the extreme in Lekich HaTama, we don't go that far. But even we, who have such a watered-down version of Lekich HaTama, the buck may stop here. According to some Achrayim, that's what the Rama meant. The Beis Yosef said the Rama meant that if you don't have Arba Mina Mitzuyim Lefonot, if you don't have all four of them within easy access of you, so that's not called Lekich HaTama. So if you did Lulav in the morning, hoping and praying you can get an Esreg, and even if you got an Esreg, according to the Rambam, you may have to start all over again. But that chasra, the level of the araisa of l'kicha tamma. And now the Be'al Lacha is throwing another curveball at l'kicha tamma and saying, we don't hold like Rabbi Natan, but we can see that a hefsek could shtare l'kicha tamma, could destroy l'kicha tamma, even a level of the araisa. So these are b'chidushim. So we have a lot of different possibilities. We look at the word l'kicha tamma. What does l'kicha tamma mean? What does l'kicha look? What does it mean l'kicha tamma? So Shema Akvin Zezeh, we have Rabbi Tam's extreme view. You have Mamash Binotel, all four Bivasachas. And then within the Chogim, within the Balach Gedolos, you have those who say, Bezeh Chazeh, you could talk, you don't need off all the fun of, you don't need that mitzvah, everything is okay. And all the limitations that we find in Rishon, those are all Brachas issues. The Rambam was a Brachas issue, and the Ramazah, everything, blame, all the blame in Ukhaz Brachas, but nothing really is impacted by the Kiyat Tamah. And then you have others, such as the Beis Yosef within the Rambam, now the Bialocha, potentially within the Kwazer Ramah, was saying, no. These are not the Rabbanantic concerns. These are not just Brachas issues that, you know, we're not so worried about. These are the Araistic concerns. These are Nuha Gedaras of the Kiyat Tamah, even within those who disagree with the Beis Yosef. So there's one last part of this L'kicha Tamma of Ma'akman Zezeh, and that is the fact that the Gemara says that B'medim Ramamurim, that you have to have the Dalaminim together. This, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda was the biggest L'kicha Tamma. He was little Tzach Eged. But what's not in the Eged? The Esrog. What's that? The Esrog. The Esrog is not in the Eged. That's for sure. How did the Gemara know the Esrog is not in the Eged? The Gemara learns that from Sukkim. Kavlechem Priyei Tzodar Kapos Tamarim, because it doesn't say Vikapos Tamarim. So the Esrog Kuliyam, even Rabbi Huda is the biggest Macham with the Raisa, you need, Egg and Mamish. Nah. The Esrog for sure is out of the Egg. So come to Poskim and now raise the following question. That din that the Gemara is learning out from Psukim, according to Rabbi Huda, that the Esrog is Dafka not outside the Egg, what would the din be if the person went ahead and he took the Lulav and Esrog Mamish together? He literally mamish, put it together. He held it in a way that the Torah doesn't require. So let's say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he mamish tied the string around the esrog also. Well, according to us, there's no string anyway, min haTorah. So what did he do? He put them all where? Mamish in the same hand. The Gemara says that the normal way to shake move an esrog, the move is in the right hand, esrog is in the left hand. The guy mamish took it all together. He puts it all together in one hand. So is that a problem? So the quote from the Orchis Chaim, one of the Shainim, the Aaron Hakoyim Milnil, I think, I'm not mistaken, I think the Rav Aaron Milnil, I'm not mistaken, the Chachmei Provence. The quote from the Orchis Chaim, it says that you're not Yotzev Midiyevet. You wouldn't be Yotzev Mamash even Midiyevet. If a person went ahead and he held the Dalam Minim in the same hand, even Midiyevet, it wouldn't be Yotzev. Because when the Gemara Dashas in the Pasuk creates other Kapos Tamarim, that means the Torah is saying it's got to be separate one from another. So many, many Acharonim question whether that's true. And one can argue on that a multiple reasons. First of all, one can argue, vi state in the Chumash that you're not Yotze. It says you're not Yotze. If it, all the Torah says is what? It means you don't have to. If not for the Exeris HaKos of the Kachta Priyetz of the Kapos, the lacking of the Vav, so there's no Tzirup between the Lulav and the Esrog, I would have said, well, if Lulav Tzach Eged, then Esrog also has to be in the middle of the Eged. So the Chiddush HaTorah is it doesn't have to be. You went ahead and put it there. So it looks a little funny, it's a little bit silly, but to say that's possible with the Eged, it's hard to believe. Where have you stayed anywhere in that Dirash that's possible with the Eged? That's what many attack that Orchis Chaim. And others say, even if the Orchis Chaim is right, that somehow this is a psul with the Eved, but what was that psul talking about? What was the case the Chumash is addressing? We need a pasuk to tell me that the Lulav and Esrog have to be separate from one another. Again, if you hold it, the pasuk is not telling me that it has to be. It's just telling me that it can be. Then for sure the Orchis Chaim is not right. But even if the pasuk is like the Orchis Chaim Svar, that's mamish coming li'ikuva to tell me that it has to be separate, what does that mean? Does that make sense within the worldview of who? Of Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds Lulav Tzach Eged to mamish tied together. So Kamash on the pasuk, don't you dare and tie that esrog into the bundle. And if you went ahead and tied the esrog into the bundle, so it could be the in mamish not yotze. But l'didon, nobody sugar ties is that. You ever see a guy tied esrog? That's crazy. Nobody does that. But what do we do sometimes? Sometimes you see a guy who's got his lulav and esrog in the same hand. Okay, wait a second. guys got Ruv and Esrog in the same hand, one could argue, even if the Yochas Chaim is right, that this pasuk is Leikuv and Pasuls, that means that Pasuls, if you tied it, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you tied it together, that would be a problem. But with Didan, no one's tying anything anyway. The fact that it's in the same hand, like, why is that called? That's Mitzurah from Chuba Yachad, that's basic. So we have two very, very serious reasons to question the Yochas Chaim. Two very, very serious reservations with the Yochas Chaim. So number one, we're not sure this whole din is b'chlal li'ikuva. We never heard that, what the Kavanah of the Torah is. But even from Shlomo, that is li'ikuva, maybe it's only true if you went in and you violated l'gamri b'targeti. Therefore, the ikmikra din, most of the Echarim say, the guy holds a luv in one hand, that's in the other hand, that's okay. If the guy's holding together in the same hand, it's probably the ikra din, okay also. There are many who try to be machlo this. Some are very nervous about the Zochus Chaim. And therefore, they're very mocked to keep the Luv and Esrog in separate hands. Now, during the time of the bracha, everybody does that. But it starts to get a little bit tricky when, Halal, especially even more. You know, Halal is almost like a halbitzara, because you know, usually most people have either davening at a table or they can maneuver to sit around the chair in front of them. Hoshanas becomes a disaster because the guy carries Hoshanas with him. Okay, only has plus and brush with only two hands. So what's he going to do with the sitter? So you see many, many people walk around, they carry the sitter in one hand, they carry the little bit of esrog. If you have a big tam in the esrog, you can have to do that. If you have a regular, normal-sized esrog, so you can usually, your hand's usually pretty big enough to hold both. So a lot of people walking around shul with a lulav in one hand, you know, a lulav and esrog in the same hand, and the sitter in the other hand. So some, no, yeshiva shechomer is not, you're not allowed to do that. Why? Because yochas chayim. And if you do it, so you're not yet, say what? Hoshanas. You're not Yotz Hashanah. So, okay. Hashanah is not a din. It's a minig. It's eich l'mikdash, a minig. I guess if you want to be extra mach, because the Gemara says the answer is shalayim, because they carry the lulav all day, so it's an extra heed that carried the lulav. So there are some people of the yeshiva shechomer that they won't say, they won't walk around with the sidra in one hand. So what do they do? So yesh v'yesh. So some people have that, you know, they got, so the old style was, you know, the old, you see the guy who's like walking, you know, his lulav is dropping, his esrog is dropping, and he's got to sit between his belly and, you know, and the lulav. That's the old style way of doing it, okay? Then you have the other people just listen to Shemek Oina. They listen to the Chaz, they can't hear anything anyway. And then Baruch Hashem, for high-level technology, they came with the wristbands and, you know, all the sweatbands and everything. You got Oshanas in all different directions. And it's a Baruch Hashem, Efshel L'Kayim Shneim. So it's thanks to Yochas Chaim's Chumrah, the Oshanas, that's why Chakayavo needs to carry your sitter on your arm rather than carrying it. Anyway, yesh v'yesh. So everybody say, so we'll make a seem in the first sugya in terms of a little bit about the sugya of Lekichat Tuma, just how far the din of Im Akman Zezeh goes. Hopefully Hashem tomorrow we'll start the next sugya.